don't you come and join us here? It's Susan, my girlfriend, Susan. We've been having a good time together. I want you to just greet us, and you can have the mic as long as your husband says you can. No.
I won't take it for too long, but I do want to greet you this morning and let you know how blessed you are. I live outside the U.S., and when I come back, I'm so blessed. It still is the greatest country, and thank you for praying for this great country, but you're very blessed to live here, and you're very blessed to be in this beautiful place, and you know this, but it's also good that I remind you now and then. So I'm blessed to be married to this wonderful guy and to do what the Lord has called us to do. But I got to tell you, I never wanted to live in another country and obey God. I wanted to obey God the way I wanted to. And that's basically selfish. But the Lord got me to the point where I realized I had nothing to give anyone and I couldn't do anything on my own. And when I got to that point, it's like the Holy Spirit just redid me, filled me anew, and here I am today, happy, really happy to be doing what the Lord called me to do at 12. And I said, no. And now I say, yes. So if any of you are in the no position, remember that Jesus has the words of life for you and for those around you. We don't have it as much as we don't know what those people need, but Jesus knows, and he just wants us to be available to let him work through us. So I encourage you to do that. And you have wonderful brothers and sisters to encourage you, pray with you, and wonderful mother and father in the faith. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, come on up here, Daniel.
Welcome. Today is Pentecost Sunday. What a joy to be here. First time I met Roger, I believe, was somewhere late 70s or maybe 1980, somewhere in that range at my brother's Baptist church, and he was leading worship. And I think I was about 17 maybe, and he was probably a little older than me. And while we all went after the time of worship and time of the word, he stayed in his tent to pray and to worship the Lord in preparation for his participation while we went all down the King's River in a canoe. I said, "You coming out?" He says, no, I'll just be here with the Lord. And that impacted my life. Yesterday we were talking in the car when he picked us up at our hotel. And he says that when you're having your time with the Lord, what a great thing. The purpose of having your devotional time with the Lord is that the Lord warms your heart. It's not today I read three chapters. Now I'm a pretty logical person. I read through the Bible every year, but that's one plan that I have. Then I have a second plan that I do, and that's just, Lord, now I want to hear from you. I don't mind going through the entire Bible because I can forget. I don't know if you've ever forgot a verse in the Bible. I haven't memorized it all yet. So I go over the Bible over and over. But really what we want to do in our time with the Lord is to hear what he's saying to our heart so that he can do something special in us as a father to a son or daughter. And then after he's done something in us, he wants us to take that something good and give it away. Right? So that's what we're going to talk about today on Pentecost Sunday. The idea that we're looking at today is believe that the Spirit will help you to live right and to make disciples. The Lord's going to help you, but it's all dependent on, and I'm preaching first to myself. The best sermon is when the Lord is teaching you something, then you can just say, come on into my little devotional area and let me tell you about the things I'm hearing. And I believe, but there is one in the Bible, when the Lord talked to him, all things are possible if you believe. And he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, I believe, but not quite all the way yet. So help me in that little area where I need to grow or that big area where I need to grow. I believe, but the truth of the matter is my faith or my belief is not perfect like Jesus who lived on earth, right? He believed the Father so much so that he says, I only do what the Father says. I only say what the Father says, and I only do what the Father's doing. I wish that would be the testimony of my life because that would mean I would be sinless in everything I said and did, right? Because he knew that the Father's way was the best. Usually when we sin, we're deceived of the enemy, thinking there's a better way. Otherwise, we would do it his way. But if I think my way is better, well, obviously you're going to do what you think is the best. My wife once said that, Lord, you can have the different areas of my life, but I get to choose my husband, because if you choose him, he might be, and I won't go into all the negative terms she thought in her mind. I don't know how ugly is with one of them, and I don't know if she thinks that that's what happened, but anyhow. Today we're talking about Pentecost Sunday. Some people call it the birth of the church. So basically, in the calendar of the Jews, they had the Passover feast, which celebrates deliverance from Egypt, right? They're coming out from slavery, and they're going to the new promised land, Israel. They're still trying to get into the promised land, Israel. They're still struggling there with another nations around them. It's hard to live there because the enemy's always opposed to God's promised people being in his promised land and in his promised purpose. The enemy will always resist, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So that's Passover, and that's one of their celebrations. And 50 days after Passover, more or less, they had a harvest, and it was Pentecost, right? They celebrated Pentecost, one of their fall harvest celebrations, or one of their celebrations. That's 50. Penta is 50, Pentecost. So we're going to be reading in the scriptures. I basically want to do a little study. You know, when Roger and your other preachers speak, they go deep into the word. They say that scholars, you know, they take the simple truth, I'm not saying this about Roger, and they make it so complicated no one can understand. Well, I'm a teacher. We try to take the complicated truth and make it applicable and easy to understand, right? I've heard people say the Bible's full of contradictions, you can't understand it. That may be true that it's complicated in about 5%, 10% of the prophecies, because prophecies deal with the future and different people have different ideas about the prophecy. Problem is 90% of the Bible is really simple to understand, but impossible to apply without the Holy Spirit. That's why people don't like it. And when the Bible says forgive, I think I know what that means. Well, now do that. In the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in patience, walk in joy, walk in victory, trust the Lord. Well, that's not so complicated to understand, right? And that's the heart of our faith. The heart of our faith is easy to understand, but impossible to apply without the power of the Holy Spirit, which we get at Pentecost. And so God says in his word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. However, that's only true for those that believe that. And I know I don't. When we say I can do all things, and that's related to all things that God is calling me to say and do. People say, I can do all things. I'm going to the Olympics and I'm going to win the 100-yard dash, the 100-meter dash. You probably aren't. Unless you're the one that God said, go. Right? So if I try to run that 100 meters and there's Usain Bolt from Jamaica, he's going to be at the 100 meter marker and I'm going to be about 53. Right? So forget about that happening. But I can do all things that Christ calls me to do. That's what I can do. I was just delivered through Emmy's meeting and her message. She said, what are those words? What are those words? What are those curses? What is the Lord breaking on you? As you get older, you get a little weaker and a little slower, but then the enemy exaggerates that, and we come into agreement, and we believe a lie. One of the things I've been saying lately, and the Lord said there's not to be saying that anymore, is I say my memory's not good. My memory can be less than it was because I've learned English. We speak fluent Spanish. I'm now learning French and Arabic, and it's more difficult. I can admit that. But when I say I can't do what God's asked me to do or my memory's no good, God never told me my memory's no good. My memory might be a little slower. I might have to hear the word 10 times now in French, and it used to be one or twice in Spanish, and my sponge caught it, right? And that's just learning endurance and trusting in the Lord. Some things are a little bit slower. I walk a little slower. I might have to read. But God never said my memory was bad, but the devil did. And I said, yeah, I don't really have a good memory. I tell that to people who I'm amazed at when they quote things. Or they have, oh yeah, I read this book 10 years ago. And in chapter 2, I said, oh my goodness, I didn't even know what I read yesterday. And so I said, no. I have the memory that the Lord wants me to have for the purposes he's given me, which means I have a good memory. So the bad memory, I have a limit. My wife's even told me this, and so have others, when I said, I don't really have a good memory, because I'm comparing myself to others. Where in the Bible does it tell us to compare ourselves with others? I can only think of maybe one where we're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ, and so I look at who he is and who I'm to become, and I say, Lord, do that in me. So I want to become like you, not anyone else, right? So when I compare my life, if I'm going to compare it to anyone, I want to compare myself to Jesus and say, Holy Spirit, do that in me, period, which has to do with my character, which is one of the main points that I want to talk about today. Pentecost is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. First day of Pentecost, they had these fires with tongues, like Pastor just said, came upon them. And basically, it was such a strange miracle, but I take it as the opposite, the reversal of the Tower of Babel. We are so great, we are so strong, we're going to build a tower up to heaven, and we're going to be great like God. And God says, you're coming into agreement with a false thing that I don't want to happen, so maybe I'll confuse your language, and so you can't talk to each other, and you can't agree on sin together. But now on Pentecost, I'm going to give you a language you also don't understand, but I understand, and you're going to reverse all the stupidity that you can do it on your own, and as you speak in tongues, you're going to say, glory be to God, I trust in you, it's by your power, by your strength, and you're saying, Dabarakariyavananake, and you're going, what was that? And he says, don't worry about what the details of the interpretation is, but basically, you are saying, I'm not going for the Tower of Babel, that's what it sounds like, blah, 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 blah. That's babbling, right? Now you have something that sounds like that because you don't understand the words. Like if I were to speak in Spanish, you'd say, what are you talking about if you don't speak Spanish? Or if I speak in Arabic, you'll say, he's babbling. What's he talking? I don't understand that. But God understands all these languages. And we're basically saying, less of me and more of you. Less of me and more of you. I love the revelation of the Apostle Paul. This is the introduction. Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. He prays once. He prays twice. He prays thrice. And God said, no, my power is made perfect in weakness. Oh, that was one of the biggest revelations he ever received in his life, I would say. And then he finishes, as you keep on reading, so I will more gladly boast of my weakness that the power of God will fill me to do his power. So I can only compare myself saying I have a weak memory or weak body compared to Jesus. No one else. And I am, and then he says, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So forget about the weakness right now. Focus on your strength in the Lord. So again, I say, I can do all things through Christ. How is Christ in us today? By his Holy Spirit, because Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he sends his Spirit to live in us. Problem is, they're three in one, so like when the Spirit's living in you, Jesus is with them, and so is the Father. We go figure that one out. So in your heart is the Father, Son, and Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit who is poured out on the birth of the church, which was called Pentecost. Because when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you're born again. Your spirit, which was separated from God, is now with God. You're now part of the family of God. You're not separated. You're not dead and separated from God's family. You're alive and you're in God's family. And now your best friend is God. And our best friend is Jesus. Right? So that's where we are at today on Pentecost Sunday. And because that introduction was so long, my phone shut itself off. Okay. Problem with preachers is that we just can't stop. We love the Lord, and we just can't stop. So today, we're going to believe basically two things. I'll give you the conclusion, and then we'll go through the word, and then we'll get to the conclusion again. Today, we are going to believe that those weaknesses in our lives, any brokenness, any sin, of which I still have some. I know because I have my devotional time with the Lord, and he corrects me on a regular basis. We're going to believe that I can allow the Holy Spirit to transform any part of my character that's not like Jesus without having excuses. I lack patience. Father, through the Spirit, I have patience. So anyhow, I'm going to ask the Lord to bring that to your heart. What areas or weaknesses you have in your character that make you look a little bit less like Jesus. And if we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, He can redeem and change those things. May not all be today. Some things take a little bit of time. And then the second thing is, we're going to believe that by the Holy Spirit, we can participate, we as a church, in making disciples. Disciples are followers that also want to have that same character of Jesus that you have as a disciple. So we become a disciple by the Holy Spirit and follow Jesus and act like Jesus and speak like Jesus. And then we help other people believe initially and then continue in the process of being like Jesus in all the nations. So we are based out of Spain, but primarily as a base and travel extensively to North Africa and the Middle East, where we are working with the Muslims, which we call our cousins. That's what they call them, our cousins. So anyhow, let's look at the book of Acts. So I'm going to do a little Bible study in the book of Acts. I'm going to not do what we often do in Scripture. I've heard preachers say, today we're going to talk about one verse of the Bible, but I don't want to read the whole verse because we don't have time for that. And they read the first three words. There's a passage of Scripture. I don't want to take the time to read it. Let me say something. It's better to hear the written word of God than my word. So we're looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 1, and we're reading the whole first nine verses. And that'll be the best part of the sermon today because it comes from God. The rest is just kind of helping to see if we understand that. So I'll make some comments along the way. But Acts chapter 1, and we'll make our way to Acts chapter 2. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, is now writing a second book about what the apostles are doing. And this is a great book. And he's writing to Theophilus, a leader, a governor, they think. And it says, in my former book, that would be the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote all about that which Jesus began to do and teach. Very interesting phrase there. In Luke, I talk about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. It seems like if that's what he began to do and teach, he's still doing and teaching, but now he's doing the teaching and the acting in the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles. And now he's doing the doing and the teaching through us, his body. We're his hands and feet. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the earth. We are the hope of the earth in Christ. The earth needs us. The world needs us. It says, to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit, so how did Jesus teach? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, good example. I'm gonna endeavor to do that too. And the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost Sunday. Giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, his death on the cross, this should all be very simple, he presented himself to them. So that would be 11 apostles. Unfortunately, Judas was no longer with the group. He had a little problem. Something about death happened to him. Okay, so after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He rose from the dead. So the spirit of Antichrist, really, among the Muslims, among the Jews and others, is that oftentimes the Jews and the Muslims in particular, Jesus didn't die. He is not the Savior. He did not rise again. Well, once you take Jesus out of the gospel, what's left? Nothing. Nothing. The good news is Jesus. And he says through many convincing proofs. So none of the 11 doubted it at the beginning. Thomas wasn't there. And he said, unless I put my finger in his side. And so he comes to Thomas and he says, all right, Thomas, put your fingers in my side. And he says, my Lord and my God. So, I haven't had Jesus come before me like that. But through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, I say, my Lord and my God. And we are called to go to the world as his witnesses so that others will say, my Lord, so you're the one who's in control, and my God, and follow him. That's our... But I'm not a preacher. I didn't go to Bible college. Or I don't know if I can. Those are all whisperings of the devil that you can't do anything. And you're not supposed to do anything more than what he's prepared you to do. So maybe your part in doing is just saying, you know God loves you? Yeah, but what about the ark? And what about the wars? And what about this and the other? I don't know about all that, but Jesus loves you. Just don't even get distracted by the things you don't know. Yeah, but I got this problem with my mom and dad, and they hate me. Well, Jesus forgives you. He forgave me. He wants to restore that. I don't know how, but just go to the simple message and don't let the demonic distraction keep you feeling like you can't do it. Oh, that's a real good question. Maybe I'll ask my pastor about that. I don't understand that, but God loves you, and he wants to heal you and forgive you and change your life. Yeah, but I don't know about the buts, but... So here it says he showed that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. So is that 40 days from the day he died or 40 days from his resurrection? I don't know, but Pentecost is 50. So he's there with them about 40 days. He takes off into heaven. Remember, at the 50th day, the Holy Spirit's coming back at Pentecost. So it's not too long after this. He takes off and he goes up in the sky, and they're going, and the angel says, don't keep on staring up there. He'll come back in due time. And it says, he appeared to them over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So that's what we tell people about. God's kingdom, or the kingdom of God, is his rule. He is ruling. He wants to rule. He's the Lord. He wants to rule in your life. The kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, we were mentioning how Jesus likes to eat. I knock at the door. If you open it up, I'll come and sup with you. That's a wonderful thing. After the resurrection, Jesus ate fish. So for those of you wondering, can we eat in heaven? It's possible in a glorified body. Necessary, I don't know, but I think I'll keep on doing that. The marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm going to enjoy eating something. Wouldn't be a good reception without some food. Eating with them, he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem. So this command's for us too. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, see, just a few days, he just took off, right? You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, and they're missing the point here. I missed the point too. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Okay, so the Holy Spirit's coming. This is good. So now Israel's going to be the most important country in the world. We're going to be the most powerful. All the glory for us, and this is going to be great. And he says, He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. So this is why the Spirit's coming. Not so much that you can be the greatest nation on earth. My wife said, the U.S. is the greatest nation on the earth, only if it's filled with Christ, right? That's our foundation. But this is for us now. This is Pentecost. This is what was going to happen in a few days. But you will receive power. Say it with me. You will receive power. How many of you have the Holy Spirit living in you because you're born again? Okay. You already have received power. And that power is just increasing, increasing, increasing as we're being filled and filled and filled with more of the Spirit. Ephesians says it this way, don't be drunk on wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit, which means be being filled, being filled, being filled every day. Holy Spirit, here I am. Fill me anew. Give me more of you. Jesus may not have had to pray that prayer because it said that Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. Kind of feels like maybe not fair. But I want the Holy Spirit without measure, but apparently in our case, we have to keep on being filled. Jesus had the Spirit without measure, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Say with me, be my witnesses. I want you to say, be my witnesses, because sometimes we think, if we read that not so carefully, you will witness. It doesn't say that. You will be my witnesses. Why is that so important? Because the most important message that will flow through you is what God has done in you. If God has saved you, if God is forming his character in you, then you can tell other people he will save you and he will work his character in you. I'm not perfect yet, but God's working in me. So your witness is you're looking more and more like Jesus, because he says, how will they know that you're my disciple? your love one for another. And how do we love one another? When the Holy Spirit produces his love in us. So you will be my witness. You will be a representation of my love, imperfect as we are. You will be my witness only as the Holy Spirit, increases in you. Then you're more and more and more a witness to what I can do in someone who submits to me. So when you say, here I am, Lord, I belong to you. I don't care about the boyfriend I'm going after by my plan. Lord, you give me the boyfriend, even if he is ugly. Lord, your will be done, not mine, here on earth as in heaven. As you do that, you are a witness. You are salt. You are light. That's what we're after today. And we often don't believe that at the full level that we need to believe that you are the witness. So when you think like you're sharing your faith with someone, it's like, I don't have anything to share. Share your life. Even if it's the beginning point, but think of this. Think of you being in the Lord and you think you've only grown a little bit. Well, even if you've grown a little bit, you've grown more than the one who's dead and has grown zero. Say that you need to get to 100%, but you're only at 7.5. Well, he or she's at zero. So give them what you got. That's all you need to do. You don't have to preach. You don't have to be a psalmist or a prophet. If you have that gift, praise the Lord. But we are all salt. We are all light. But the enemy says, you can't do that. Their questions are too complicated. Maybe they are. So don't answer them. Just avoid them. And just go right back to what you do know. Forget about what you don't know and impressing people. Because that's all you are as a witness. What God has done in me, now I want to share with you. Yeah, but the but part I don't know. Keep your butt to yourself. You will be my witnesses. And then this is where we come into play here. In Jerusalem, so we just kind of usually modify the cities, right? So in Fairmont. And in all Judea. So that might be like the whole United States. All you people that speak English, we do too a little bit. And Samaria. Now Samaria was inside of Israel, but it was now like a mixed race. So there are different nationalities that were there. They went away, and foreigners moved in, and then they came back, and they kind of had their faith a little bit mixed. So that would be people that are now of mixed ethnic origin. So here in the U.S., God loves everyone that lives here, and not everyone looks like us. And yet, God wants them too, in your country. And then we get to the last little detail. Praise the Lord, not everyone has to do this one. And to the ends of the earth, I want you to make disciples. Okay. And then it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. Bye-bye, at the 40th day. But the 50th day is coming. So now the 50th day. Here we are, chapter 2 of Acts. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came. Well, in the creation, it says that the Spirit was kind of hovering over the earth, right? I don't know what that hover looked like. I don't know if it was like a little hurricane hover or was just a trembling. But this time, a mighty rushing wind is coming. So like the hurricane force of the Spirit's coming. And it came from heaven. So that's always a good source, right? Jesus came from heaven, was born of the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit comes from heaven, and he wants to live in us. So Jesus came and was deposited in the womb of Mary. The Holy Spirit came and was deposited in our hearts. So it's like another parallel. God comes from heaven in Mary. That's Jesus. God comes from heaven, the Holy Spirit, in you. And then they had tongues of fire. Fire usually is power. So we got wind, and when wind's blowing and there's fire, forget about it. The devil's in trouble. He can't control this thing anymore. You got fire, and then you got wind, and the fire's just sweeping. It's the power of God that he cannot resist. That separated and fell on each one, so now it's being multiplied. Greater works you'll do than the work I'm doing here on earth, because I'm kind of in one place, but you will be across the whole territory. Jesus never led a Muslim to the Lord here on earth, because there were none. So now we're going to do that, right? And Hindus and Buddhists and things of that nature. And it says, separated, that separated and came on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So that's the day of Pentecost, which is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Acts 1:8 that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. That's where I want to land on. So, but before doing that, thanks, because your church is one of the churches that prays for us and gives us financial support so that we can go with you, right? The only way that you can go to the nations is that someone is praying that the nations will be reached. They're giving. I think we have some other people that might be sneaking out soon. And thank you. We're doing this work together. And so the glory is for the Lord. Every disciple belongs to the Lord, and we participate in making these new disciples. So we mostly work in North Africa and the Middle East. But the important thing to know is that even though we have a focus on reaching Muslims, Muslims are not more important than the American that lives next door. God has no favorites. Your field of service is in Fairmont and beyond, wherever the Lord takes you, not mine. So anyhow, when Daniel and Susan are in Fairmont, we might have the opportunity to talk to one person, but you are the light to Fairmont. We aren't. And wherever you live, right? And that's the beautiful thing. So that's your field of service. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So on Pentecost, Jesus dies to save the world from brokenness and to reveal the Father heart of God, that he loves us. He wants to get rid of every sin, everything that destroys. He instructs him for 40 days about his kingdom. And he says, so now you're going to do what I did. I would love to have been a fly on the wall. Maybe not really a fly, but I would have loved to have heard those teachings. Maybe some came out in the apostolic teachings after that. And we are to be witnesses. So the two results that we're looking at are this. Okay, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so that I will be that witness, right? So how is that going to happen? I'm going to believe, contrary to what the enemy says, I'm going to declare and believe what the Lord is telling me to do and become. So first of all, what I'm to become. I'm to become like Jesus, and like I said earlier, I broke the curse saying that I have a bad memory. That's a bad testimony and a bad idea and a wrong. That's not a blessing. So I today broke with that because I believed a prophetic word that the Holy Spirit gave to Emmy, and he loved each one of you. I don't know the word you might have heard, so that you would be free and be more like Jesus and enjoy your life and become the person he wants you to be so you can be his example to the world. So that's what happened in me. But sometimes we don't believe and we don't confess, or we confess the wrong thing. I had a friend, a fellow minister that lived with us in Dominican Republic where we served for many years. And he said, I'm Irish. That's why I'm kind of feisty, kind of angry, kind of hot-tempered. He's a Christian, too, and a minister. And guess what? He's feisty, hot-tempered, and angry. He is just like his confession. Now, when he says the Irish people, and it wouldn't be a lie, often are feisty and hot-tempered and angry, but I'm in Christ, so he's canceling all that background of generational curses and cultural defects, and I'm a person of peace, I'm a person of joy. When he has that testimony, he'll become that and be like Jesus. But first he has to believe it. A lot of times we believe about our defects. Oh, I got a bad memory. Oh, just keep on saying it and it'll get worse. And it did. I can't do that because I can't remember that. I'm not at that level. Just be at the level the Lord wants you at. Don't confess the curses of the devil. Just confess the blessings of the Lord. And don't worry about if someone has some gift bigger than you. If they have a bigger or greater gift, like I play guitar, but you would have cringed if I played today, but Roger plays guitar, and I said, let him play. First thing I prayed about in the Dominican Republic, I led worship for, I don't know, a year in our house, maybe longer. And every time I played, I said, Lord, send us someone who can play the guitar because you know I can't. And once someone does this, then I can preach. Because when I play the guitar, I think I've ruined my sermon after that one. So the Lord sent us some musicians, right? And was I jealous? I was happy. Now I don't have to play. So I'll be happy when someone has a gift. Let them do their gift. You do yours. You do you. I do me. Someone says something like that. So both results are by the Holy Spirit. Number one, he's going to make you more like Jesus every day, in as much as you believe that whatever your weakness is, and some of the weaknesses take a little bit of time to work out. Not everything's tomorrow. It says all things are new. That's what the Bible says. We're a new creation in Christ. Well, let me just give a little definition of that, which you might not like. The Holy Spirit entered in your heart, and you were born again, and now you have a perfect spirit. There's nothing more God has to do in your spirit, but you still got this thing called the soul. And the Bible talks about sanctification of your soul. That's your emotions, your will, your temperament, right? All those things, your mind, what you're thinking, what you're doing. Those things have to be transformed by the word of God. Sometimes the Lord will do a miracle and some breakthrough will come today. But the rest is a process. Otherwise, God wouldn't say that by the same spirit, he is transforming you from glory to glory, to glory to glory, till the day you die. But we have to keep on believing that anything he reveals to us as a weakness that you can say, Lord, help me with this. And then if that's not enough, because I have another scripture I wanted to read, which is 1 Corinthians 10:13. We have to believe this to receive it. No temptation. Temptations are toward weakness, toward doing things the wrong way. Has overtaken you or me, except what is common to mankind. So the devil is trying to beat the H-E-L-L into you, and we want it out of us. Right? So, and God is faithful. I have to believe that. If I don't believe that, the enemy's won the battle. Because if he's faithful, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So the temptation comes, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it, you can resist it, you can reject it. Sometimes the way out is God will give you a promise. He'll give you a prophetic word, and the deliverance is like that. The other ways out of temptations and weaknesses is he'll give you a prayer partner. Roger and I were prayer partners. I can't remember all the things we prayed for, but basically I have prayer partners, four more now in Spain. Wherever I go, I say, Lord, man to man, woman to woman, give me a prayer partner. I pray with my wife also, but I have a prayer partner. Men tend to understand men better, and women tend to understand women better. And my wife says, well, women think this way. I said, okay, you say so. I don't understand that. So I need to pray with my wife. That's one level of understanding. But man to man, we know our weaknesses. Woman to woman, they know their weaknesses, right? So I have this prayer partner called Roger, named Roger, blessed Roger. Love you, Roger. And the things I do also in Spain, basically three kinds of prayer. Lord, and I tell my men, these are the temptations I'm facing, weaknesses, challenges, blessings. So that's my personal life. This is what's going on in my family, and this is what's going on with my work slash ministry. And any weakness, any attack, anything that the Lord helps me identify, I say, okay, guys, help me pray through this. Then the next week they might say, how's it going? I say, well, not quite where I want it to be yet, but let's keep on praying. So there's prayer partners where two or three agree in my name. There I am in the midst of you to accomplish my purpose. So not every battle, the way of escape is not always just me on my knees, even though there's a lot of those. Sometimes the Lord will say, you need to pray this through with someone else. And that's the way of escape for your victory. So I can't tell you which one of those it is. Depends on the circumstance, right? So that's how we grow in the Lord. And then the second part, when we're talking about being effective witnesses, I have one more verse. That's important for us to know. There's someone that's always with us when you're trying to be a witness and to witness with your words. And this comes from these overseas workers love this. Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. We'll just do 18 and 19. All authority. How much authority? All authority. So let's say this together. All authority. So, and this is the one who lives in you. In heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Not because you can do it, because you can't. You can't convince anyone. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit represents all my authority. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, I can't do that, says Moses. And God says, I'll be with you. But I can't speak. Okay, well, I'll send Aaron with you because you can't believe that you can think. In other parts of the scripture, it says that he was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. He probably spoke or could speak a lot better than he thought. So he says, okay, I can't speak, or I'll send Aaron with you. It wasn't God's original plan. And then he had certain problems with Aaron, like a golden calf. We're not going to get into details. You can make disciples by the authority of Jesus Christ, who lives in you by his Holy Spirit. And just believe that for your daughter, your son, your uncle, your aunt, the person at work, your neighbor, the person in the store. Your job may be just a little part. Remember, I think it says that one waters, one sows, one waters, one harvests. And sometimes it's not very easy. So I'm just going to talk about some conclusions. Are we almost over here? It's 11:30. Probably should be winding up. Another minute and a half. Okay. We never listened. They say if a pastor takes their watch off and puts it on the pulpit to see how the time's going, one little boy said to his mom, what does that mean? He took his watch off. And he's looking at the time. She says, that doesn't mean anything. Jesus lives in you. But 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this age has blinded those so that they can't see the light of the gospel. So how do we be witnesses? That's what Jesus is doing in us. How do we speak witness? Is that we pray, God, open their hearts. They've been blinded by the devil, each and every one of them. So Lord, you have to take that off, right? First step. So I just want to give a few testimonies. And we're not going for a salvation. Obviously, that's the first step always, but God says, make disciples. So like when I talk to people, I don't say anymore, is your brother a Christian? Is your mom a Christian? Because Spain is full of Christians and none of them follow Christ. Christian, cultural Christians. That would be my tradition. But Christ doesn't tell me to do anything, because if he did, I wouldn't listen to him. But I'm a Christian. I say, is your mom a disciple? And then I can define that if they don't know what that means. Does your sister follow Jesus? Does she love the word of God and pray and worship God and follow him? No. Well, then we haven't done our job, because God didn't say go to all the world and make Christians. He said go to all the world and make disciples. And when you got a disciple, you got the real article. Someone who is following Jesus, because they know that that's the love we were designed for. I mean, there's nothing better than that. They just don't know it yet. For my sister, my older sister, who we were with last week, 10 years I prayed for her daily. What's the hold up here? My sister and demonic activity. And then the Lord said, fast. And so I fasted. I can't remember if it was 3 or 4 days, but it was just a water fast because the Lord said to do so. And then I gave her this book from Bible college where I was studying called In the Beginning. And just to show you how God can use anything, she had walked with the Lord, went through high school, learned that the most important thing is to be popular and party and everything else. Not going to go into details, but it wasn't good. And she walked away from the Lord for these 10 years or more. And I said, here's a book. She started reading it. And in the book, it says, in the beginning, it talks about Adam and Eve. And it says, because you decided not to follow God, Adam, you're a gardener, and now you're going to just get thorns instead of good harvests. And Eve, because you also were involved in this little scandal of not doing what I wanted you to do, you're going to have pain when you give childbirth. And she says, this is amazing. I've never heard anyone before or after yet. And I had pain at childbirth. The word of God is true. God knows all things. I'm coming back to God then. Women will have pain at childbirth. The word of God is true. I better come back to God. And she came back to God because women have pain at childbirth. She had a revelation from God. But it was, what was that? 10 years of praying, 3 days of fasting, a book that the Lord used. So, wow. Then we went to Dominican Republic, served there for 22 years. We found a house to rent. The next door neighbor says, oh, you're the new neighbors, come in. Drink coffee. I spoke to her about the Word of God for 3 hours. So she had a Catholic background. She was into Spiritism, New Age, Eastern religions, somewhere around noon, and I was there for 3 hours. She didn't have her lunch, so for 3 hours, all there was a candy dish there. She was eating all her imported candies till they were all gone. At the end of the 3 hours, I invited Amalia to receive the Lord, and she did. Why? Because God. Because of God. And then I said, maybe I could teach you a Bible. And she said, well, I have a group of women, and we like to study things. Eastern religions, da, 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 da. I said, how about the book of Romans? And she and the other said, that's the Apostle Paul. He was a smart man. Yeah, we'll do that. So we began to teach the book of Romans, and five of those women came to the Lord, and that was the first Four Square Church in Dominican Republic. And she was saved in 1 day in 3 hours. Now, before I did that, who was praying for her? Who did the hard work? Who did the sowing, the watering? Not me. Miguel Angel, another man in Dominican Republic, alcoholic. Probably 50, 60 years drinking alcohol every day. So he had a wife and 4 kids. They came to become part of our church. So his brother, who was part of our church, said, hey, could you talk to my brother Miguel Angel? So I go there, and I do my normal thing, just yakety, yak, 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 by the Holy Spirit. Miguel Angel, would you like to receive the Lord? Yes, I would. So he receives the Lord. First, the Lord delivered him from alcohol. Then he delivered him also from chain smoking, that kind of thing. I think the smoking took a little longer. The alcohol was in a day, which is amazing. And I said, Miguel, now you need to ask your wife and your kids, who you abandoned and rejected and said bad words, to ask them to forgive you. So about 2 or 3 weeks go by. Miguel, how's your little homework assignment going? Oh, I haven't had time yet. Miguel Angel, you're retired. All you have is time. So then he asked his wife and each one of the kids to forgive him that he wasn't the father he should have been. And there was healing in the family. So Miguel Angel, saved in 1 day. Again, my 1 day, but others doing the work, right? Family members, brother. He was a connection point. Maybe you don't have a connection point, or you need someone to help you with your, especially family members. Because many times a prophet's not accepted in their own town, a family member's not accepted in their own house. So you say, hey, can you come and talk to my sister? You might be the way to present, right? The other person does the talking. And they're saying the exact same message you said, but because it's not you, they listen. That's the thing that's the pet peeve of pastors. Today, I'd like to talk to you about this. And people go, Then someone comes next week, invite a guest, says the same message. Amen, we're going to do that. That's really good. All right. Same message. We are in Spain. Spain used to be the number one Catholic country. They're the ones who kind of pushed forward the Inquisition. They went to Peru and other countries in South America. If you don't believe the gospel the way that we believe it, then you're going to be tortured, stretched. I went to a place in Peru where they had all the instruments of torture through the Inquisition. You're a heretic, so recant, recant. But Jesus Christ died on the cross. I read the Bible. I love him. Don't you dare read the Bible. Only the priest can read the Bible. So now we're trying to go to Spain, where they're almost as difficult to reach as Muslims. And I said, Lord, give us Spaniards. 90% of our churches in Foursquare in Spain are Latinos, which means South America, Central America, 5% other European countries, basically, and 5% Spaniards. And I said, Lord, we've been here. We're working primarily among Muslims, but we're in Spain. Help us. I went with the pastor and his wife and talked to Martha and her mother, Mercedes. Mercedes is still in process, but Martha received the Lord in 1 day. Mercedes also, she made the confession of a Savior, but the Lord part, still not quite convinced about that part. I am Catholic, want to stay Catholic. And so my thing with the Catholics is I say, if you're Catholic, good, be a good one. And they don't even know what that means. And let me tell you about being a good Catholic. You read the Bible, you pray, you follow Jesus. And Mary's told all the people around, do whatever Jesus tells you. So Do you pray to Mary and all that? And you think Mary's a good example? Well, let's do what Mary said. Let's do whatever. Well, what did Jesus tell us? Well, let's read the 4 Gospels together and be a good Catholic. And before they know it, being Catholic's not so important. But the Word of God is. So my phone turned off, which says that the message is over. Okay. So whether it's 1 day or 10 years, We are not going to quit becoming more like Jesus in ourselves, and it's a process, lifelong, and we're not going to stop witnessing. Some are a 10-year project and beyond. I will stop praying for my nephews and nieces that are not believers when I go to heaven, and not a day before. As long as I have a mind, as long as I can pray, as long as I'm walking on this earth, I'm going to pray for their salvation. And in as much as I can be a witness to them, when I'm present with them, I'm believing for their salvation. And that's the way we need to live. You don't need to do anything beyond what you're able to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, but you need more of the Holy Spirit. So let's just pray for the Holy Spirit that we could believe for the weakness. So try to identify any weakness in your life. Does your wife or husband or friend ever tell you, boy, you sure don't listen well? Maybe that's a good testimony for you to start to take it to the Holy Spirit. Or you sure like to kind of give your own opinion like you know everything. That's a comment. Maybe I can deal with that. Or you're nice, but when you play sports, you sure get angry. I heard that from my nephew when I was playing a board game. He says, oh, you should see him play a board game. I'm competitive. So I need to watch out that that's not a bad testimony. I can still beat him, but with a smile. What is it that the Lord wants to do in you that you thought, well, I'm weak in this area or I'm weak in these areas? Believe the Holy Spirit to change them. And it may be a process. Maybe you need a prayer partner. Ask the Lord. So that's your personal assignment. The second one is ask the Lord, who do you want me to be sharing my faith with? Even if it's a small way, who should I be praying for? Should be people all around you that you pray for daily, especially family members, right? And we're just going to believe for the Holy Spirit to fill us. So now that I'm done, I'm going to have the pastor pray. Come on. And just ask the Lord to fill us in a way that he knows better than I. We need to be filled with the Spirit.
Don't leave. Let's all. I just love the way the Holy Spirit is so ever-present in our thoughts and our hearts. Would you close your eyes and lift your heads before the Lord? First and most important thing that the Lord wants you to understand is how cherished you are and how deeply loved you are. He wants you to know that you can't do the things that you want to do without his help. And so when we come with a fresh sense of repentance that is even a gift from God, repentance is actually a gift. It's a pure gift that causes change to manifest inside of us. It's the power of the Lord to change us. And there are several of you in the room right now where you've been agitated about your life. And the Lord says, I've stirred that up to get rid of it. Let's praise the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for that. He says, I want to detach you from the harassment that's been in your life. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for the detaching of harassments. The spirit of repentance, the spirit of forgiveness is here. The Holy Spirit is always manifesting the beauty of conviction of how we can become like the Lord and remove things that hinder us from seeing the Lord in the way that he truly is in our life. Would you now go ahead and lift your heart? I just sense a real precious sense of the Lord's love for each heart here. Those you've got your spiritual language, would you just begin to pray in the Spirit? If you don't have that, you can just say, Father, I'm asking that you would just pour that your spirit of love deep within me, and let me speak to you like a little baby, Abba Father, and let that little language begin to bubble up out of there just like an unintelligible baby. You can go ahead and begin praying. The Holy Spirit will be taking that language and turning it into the richest form of love to impart deep into your spirit. And you can stand before the Lord as his beloved child with the right to become a son of the living God. And he will cause, I just sense, the Lord is saying to each of us, there are bigger things that I have for you. I'm lifting you up to cause you to go through those doors. Would you praise him with me? Let's pray in the Spirit. Just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All this time, all this morning, the Lord has been addressing things that have been against us to move us out of that into the things that are for us. Let's go ahead and praise Him. There's some of you that you really, really are stepping into a wonderful new season. There's some of you that are almost saying, just like Elijah, Elisha said, where is the God of Elijah? You're ready to go into a new dimension of grace and miracle working. It's happening. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord. There's also a handful of you that you already have people that you're influencing, that you're causing them to see who Jesus is. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and touch somebody on the shoulder near you if you can find somebody nearby. Hallelujah. Lord, let the blessing of the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace and open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. And the blessed the Lord will come and overtake you, and the works of darkness will be dispelled before you, and they will leave seven times in front of you because of the Lord's grace and precious power in your life. Let's go ahead and worship. Just worship the Lord with me. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.